In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The text for this morning's sermon is the Gospel appointed for the seventh Sunday after the Feast of Holy Trinity. The Gospel according to St. Mark, the eighth chapter, beginning at verse 1. In those days, the multitude being very great and having nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples to him and said to them, I have compassion on the multitude, because they have now continued with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away hungry to their own houses, they will faint on the way, for some of them have come from afar. Then his disciples answered him, How can one satisfy these people with bread here in the wilderness? He asked them, How many loaves do you have? And they said, 7. So he commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground, and he took the 7 loaves and gave thanks, broke them and gave them to his disciples to set before them, and they set them before the multitude. They also had a few small fish, and having blessed them, he said to set them also before them. So they ate and were filled, and they took up 7 large baskets of leftover fragments. Now those who had eaten were about 4,000, and he sent them away. Thus far the text. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Jesus is being followed by a multitude. They have continued with him for 3 days, we are told, and they are in need of sustenance as he looks upon those who are in need. Jesus tells his disciples, I have compassion on the multitude. You are the ones in need of sustenance. You are the blessed multitude. The Holy Spirit has drawn you into this third day assembly where we gather to receive that which our Lord Jesus Christ would feed us. Take heart, every one of you, for Jesus sees your need, and he has compassion on you. The law must do its work first. For some, the law has less work to do. Just as your stomach will tell you that you are in need of food, some of you have been so visited by the devastation that sin can cause in a person's life that there is no doubt in your mind that you need help. And thus the Holy Spirit works readily through Jesus' message of compassion and forgiveness to call you to repentance and to receive the gift of salvation that he comes to bring. For others, it's different. Some people can constantly snipe at their spouse and never even notice that they are endangering their marriage. Some people can drive down the road with a dangerously low tire and not realize, until somebody else points it out, that they are traveling on the hairy edge of automotive disaster. Many of us have been embarrassed to go through who knows how many hours of a day and then discover that something isn't zipped or buttoned that really ought to be. But one way or another, we all know what it's like to be completely oblivious to something we should have been noticing. Some of us have even mastered that. And the dangerous, ugly spiritual equivalent to that is that sometimes people don't even notice their own sin. They may not even see or particularly take notice of its destructive influence in their lives. They're just kind of spiritually oblivious. Even the ones that say they're spiritual, they often think of themselves as basically good people for all of the reasons that our society gives you permission to think such things. And as a consequence, they have no recognition of their need for repentance and the forgiveness of sins. Upon such spiritually arrogant, proud, stubborn people, Jesus also has compassion. But that compassion requires a more drastic mercy, a harsher proclamation of the law, so that as the law does its work of crushing them, the Holy Spirit can then use the gospel to deliver our Lord Jesus' salvation to them also. The point remains, Jesus wants to have compassion on you. He wants to feed you with the bread of life. He does not want you fainting as you are on your way. So he sits the multitude down, and then come words that sound oddly familiar. He took the loaves, gave thanks, broke them, and gave them to the disciples to give to the people. And after the same manner also, he does with a few fish. The Lord provides. This is the point of connection with this morning's epistle, as obscure as that may seem. In the epistle, the apostle speaks of who and what you were before you were brought to Christ. Compare that to a hungry person. How does one resolve their basic hunger issue? Well, you can grow the food, or you can buy the food, or, unlikely as this may seem, someone could just give you the food. This multitude clearly was not in a position either to grow their own food or to buy it. Jesus simply gave it to them. In parallel, consider the epistle. How does one get to a soul-satisfying state of holiness? Well, one can either produce their own holiness, which is just as impossible as these 4,000 people quickly growing their own food, Or they could use money to buy their own holiness, which, despite the misleading teachings of a huge swath of Christendom, is also not possible. Or holiness can be given them as a gift, just as Jesus gave this multitude the gift of food. That's the only way us fallen ones will ever attain holiness. Just as the gift of the Lord was the only way His multitudes were going to eat anything in that situation. Jesus works through physical means. In the Old Testament, God worked through physical means. He used physical dust of the ground to create man in the first place, and a physical rib taken from that man to create woman. He used physical circumcision and physical body and blood of the Passover lamb to save people. He used a physical icon or forged image of a snake on a pole to deliver His repentant people from a venomous snake bite in the wilderness. In the New Testament, of course, there is the physical water of baptism and the physical bread and wine that convey the body and blood of our Passover Lamb, our Lord Jesus Christ, to save us. That has always been God's modus operandi, God's MO, His way of working. He always uses physical means. Jesus feeds stomachs by way of the gift of physical food. So too, Jesus gives salvation by way of the physical, the water on our skin in holy baptism, the body and blood in our mouths by way of baptism. And there is physicality even to sound and the vibrations that go through the ear and strike your eardrums. Jesus sticks His saving words into your ear holes just as physically as He puts His body and blood by way of Holy Communion into you. So beware of any who would give you some sort of achievement of a higher spiritual plane apart from the physical. That's just not how God does things. Go where God is delivering to you the physical saving goods. Jesus delivers, miraculously to be sure, but He delivers. Those who have been without the physicality of food that their bodies need have that physicality given to them. Point not to be missed. On the third day, the physicality of bread and fish. He distributes that body-saving gift by way of His called ministers, by way of His disciples. Dear ones in Christ, consider your souls. By nature, we are bereft of the holiness about which the epistle this morning speaks. We were conceived and born sinners. We have never, ever known how it feels to have minds completely unclouded by sinful thoughts, emotions untainted by impure affections, bodies unsullied by sinful urges. But that's how they should be. As I love you in the Lord, so I command you, repent of every last scrap of your being that is thus clouded, tainted, sullied, by nature even dead. Consider your sin. It's hard for people to hear in our day and age, but know that hell would be completely fair. It's our just reward. Take that to heart. Let it sink in. Let that terrify you, as it should, and repent. But next, hear the good news that Jesus has lived a perfect life for you and offered that life up as an atoning sacrifice for your sins. By His suffering and death, He has fully paid the wages of sin. There on the cross, enduring even the very hell you deserved, being forsaken by God and saying so, and for His sake then, you are forgiven and set at peace with the living God. As Christ is holy, He has now given you to partake of His holiness. Now that could leave a person wondering, gazing at a crucifix, is that gruesome death? Is that really what I needed? Dare I place all my hope of eternal life on this Jesus and on His death on the cross? I mean, He no more than dies. And they take His body down from the cross and put it in a tomb behind a stone so large that no one man could move it. What does faith have to hold on to? Jesus has compassion on you. Yes, that was the day of the crucifixion, but continue with Him for 3 days, and your soul receives the physical sustenance that it needs. Jesus rises from the dead on the 3rd day so that the church is not left clinging to a mere abstract proposition. We get to cling to our resurrected Lord. Just as Christ had compassion on the multitudes on that day, so He has compassion on you. He does something physical for your salvation. Dying on the cross and rising again on the 3rd day. But then He places the physicality of salvation into the hands of His called servants, that they may distribute these gifts to you. Thus, St. Augustine, commenting on this text, offers that in the very proclamation of the word, Jesus feeds you with the bread of salvation. Indeed, it is so, and all the more if it is rightly understood, for the words are placed into your physical ears. They are physically received, that believing in them, you may have eternal life. So the Lord appoints His called and ordained servants to distribute Himself to you by way of the faithful proclamation of the Word, of the person and work of the crucified Son of God. They distribute Him also by way of the water of baptism, for in those waters you are buried with Christ, raised with Christ, clothed with Christ, and indeed you put on Christ. Finally, our Lord uses His pastors to be His tools for giving you what He Himself took and gave thanks for and broke and distributed. His own body and blood given to you by way of bread and wine for the forgiveness of your sins. Dear ones in Christ, dear people of the multitude, who as poor, miserable sinners are either hungry for the gospel or ought to be, hear it. Christ has had compassion on you. He has lived for you, died for you, risen for you, and entrusted His ministers with distributing Himself to you. Your sins are all forgiven you, and you have therefore been made holy ones, saints, in and through the words, and for the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.